So today, as we get into this lesson, you will notice one thing really quick. There's no comments on the overhead projector. I will be putting the scriptures up there, but there's not going to be any of my comments because I want that scripture to speak to you. I want to start off, and this one's not up there, but I want to start up with Matthew 5:6. Does anybody happen to know what that says? It's the Beatitudes. Most of us know the Beatitudes. It says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." That's exactly right. Christians, when we quit hungering after Him, something is wrong in our heart. You may not know a whole lot about the Holy Spirit, but I hope that this is your attitude. I want everything that He has for me. I want everything that He has for me. I want it. Count me in. Father God, I come before You today and I pray, Lord, for Your anointing upon this sermon, upon Your word, but more than anything, upon the hearers today. I pray, Lord, that every ear would be open to what the Spirit of God is saying today. I pray that I would not get in the way. Father, help me, Lord, to only speak what You want me to say today. Help me to just let the Scripture expound and teach these people exactly what You wanted them to know about the Holy Spirit. We need You, Lord. That is one thing that we know we need. We need You, Jesus. So we're asking You, Lord, to be with us, to illuminate this word into our lives. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So we're going to start with Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And I'm reading out of the NIV today, and I know that's a little offensive to some of you, and I would just give you an anointed word that says, get over it. It's in a little bit of a language that I think that you'll understand it better. Mark 16, 17, it says, "And these signs will accompany those who believe." Do I have any believers today?
Yes.
Okay. "In My name will drive out demons, and they'll speak in new tongues." Now, it takes a man to tell you that's for an appointed time. That was for an appointed people. And we're over that time now. That's not what the Scripture says. It says, "In My name, if you are a believer, you will drive out demons and you'll speak with new tongues." John chapter 16, verse 13 through 15. Jesus is speaking to His disciples and He says, "But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears. He will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to Me by taking from what is Mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is Mine and will make it known to you." Has anyone ever said, "Lord, I need wisdom"?
Yes.
"Lord, I'm raising these kids and I don't know what to do. Lord, I have a business and I don't know what decision to make. Lord, there's something in my heart and I don't even know how to pray. I need You to direct me." Jesus said He's going to take what is Mine and give it to you. That's in real time. He's going to take what He hears in heaven, what He knows in heaven, and He's going to say, "Here's the piece of information that you need." Does that sound like a line that you would not want to sign up for? Does that sound like something you ought to be scared of? Does anything I said today so far sound like anything you ought to be scared of?
No.
It took religion to make you scared. It took some crazy Pentecostal people to make you scared. Right? Most of the fear that we have is our fault. Pentecostals, you look at me. It's our fault. We've acted strange. The Holy Spirit is not strange. It's part of the Godhead. He is God. And can we just say, let's quit calling Him it. He. He's part of the Godhead. Acts chapter 1, verse 4 through 8. It's on your screen. He says, on one occasion while He was eating with them, He gave them His command. This command. Now on one occasion, who's He? Jesus gave the command to His disciples. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked Him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? And He said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by His own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So Jesus looks at His disciples, His disciples, and He says, don't leave home without it. It's better than any Visa card you'll ever find. Don't leave home without the Holy Spirit. I know you've been ministering for 3 years. I've been sending you out, but now I'm telling you this. Don't leave Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. Does this sound like something that Jesus placed a high authority and a high... I mean, this was really important, right? He's saying, guys, I don't want you to miss this. You don't leave until the Holy Spirit is poured out. And when He comes, there's going to be power. And you need that power. I don't know about you, but I have talked to many, many people that says, I just can't live for God. I just can't seem to do it on my own. Well, duh, right? None of us can. It takes God to help us live for Him. The Spirit comes to reside in you. And at salvation, the Spirit comes into you. You get that? I don't want anyone to leave this church and say, Eric said, you got to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues to go to heaven. I will fight you on this one. I am not saying that. When you get saved, when you believe, the Holy Spirit comes inside of you. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is something different. And that's what we're seeing. The disciples were saved. I believe the disciples were saved, don't you? I believe they probably were saved. And He said, guys, don't leave. You stay right here and stay together until what I've talked to you about happens. They had no clue what that meant, did they? It's like, yeah, okay, what's that going to mean? So let's look over to chapter 2 then, verse 1 through 4. He says, when the day of Pentecost came, okay, what does Pentecost mean? 50. It means 50 days after the Passover. Pentecost, the baptism of the Spirit of God, was never to be a denomination. It's not about the label over your door. It's about the label that's on your heart. If you are born again, you can be Spirit-filled. And it's so much more important than any kind of label. When the day of Pentecost, 50 days after the Passover, came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. 120 was in that room, and about 13 or 14 of them began to speak in tongues. That's not what Scripture says. Well, I think the Holy Spirit is for some people, and for other people it's not. All of them. Everyone that was in the room was filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit and began to speak in tongues. They were all together. The one thing that you will see over and over in Scripture as we go through this is people begin to speak in tongues after the Holy Spirit come upon them. You're going to see that. You will not see ever again tongues of fire. Also, one of the things that we have already noticed is that Jesus said, tarry here, that's the old King James, tarry here, wait. Wait until the Holy Spirit is given. So what did Pentecost do? They taught that you had to tarry for the Holy Ghost. But nowhere else in Scripture do they tarry. Everywhere else they laid their hands on them and they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But we taught people, no, you got to labor on this one. Really? Is that what the Scripture teaches or is that man? What did you do when you got saved? You labored. You waited. God saved me. And 3 years later he saved you. No, he didn't. You went to the Lord with a broken heart and you said, God, I need you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. And what happened? You were saved. That moment. You may not have felt saved, but you were saved. Why would we think that it would differ anywhere else? Right? At that time, Peter is filled with boldness. He has some power upon him. This is the same guy that couldn't seem to stay around when they were crucifying Christ. He denies him 3 times, right? You remember Peter? I like to call him Impetuous Peter because he was always speaking out at the wrong time. But all of a sudden on the day of Pentecost, something happens and Peter stands up in front of a multitude. We don't know how many was there, but it said people from all over had come in to celebrate Pentecost, the Feast of Weeks. They had all come in for this, and Peter gets filled with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes upon him. He stands up, and he preaches them a sermon, a powerful sermon. He didn't back down from anything. He says, you are the ones that crucified Christ. Very powerful sermon. You read it in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 people got saved that day from the guy who 50 days earlier couldn't seem to say, yes, I'm one of his disciples. Scared to death. Something happened to Peter. And something will happen to you too. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 38 and 39. It says, Peter replied, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That's called salvation. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 39. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. Now, how can we complicate that? Well, through the dispensations of time, the Holy Spirit came to touch these people and to start the church out right with power. And then after a while, we don't need that power any longer. Really? Yeah. Who come up with that bright theology? I would say that we need the Holy Ghost more than we've ever needed him. Look over to Acts chapter 8, verse 4 through 8. It says, those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. Wow. So if you're scattered and down to Walmart, Your job is to buy your groceries and preach the word. If you're scattered to the gas station, your job is to pump your gas and spread the word of Jesus lives. Philip happened to go down to a city in Samaria and preach the Christ there. Christ is not the last name of Jesus. Christ is a title. It means the anointed one. When the crowds heard Philip and saw the miraculous signs he did, they all paid close attention to what he said. With shrieks, evil spirits came out of many, and many paralytics and cripples were healed. So there was great joy in the city. Mark chapter 16, verse 17, and these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they'll drive out demons. Sounds like he was experiencing something very similar. Philip goes to Samaria. He begins to preach Jesus. Things begin to happen. The disciples hear what's going on. Look down to verse 14. Next slide. It says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them. And when they arrived, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Now, these folks were saved, right? The Holy Spirit comes in you at salvation, right? Do we all agree with that? Yes. But they come down that they might receive the Holy Spirit. Got to be something just a little different. Because the Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them. It had came in them at salvation. They had simply been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given at the laying of hands, at the laying on of the apostles' hands, he offered them money. He said, I want to buy that. This is the one spot where it talks in scriptures that when they prayed for them to receive the Holy Spirit, it doesn't say that they spoke in tongues. But something happened. Something happened that there was great revival in Samaria. Philip was preaching the word of God. People were getting saved and they thought, man, we need to send some people down there to pray the Holy Spirit so they'll receive the full package. So they go and they lay their hands on them and say, receive ye the Holy Spirit. And he does just exactly like that, just sits there like a knot. How many people want to buy that? Yeah, no takers? Of course you wouldn't want to buy that. We would want to buy something that we saw dramatic. Something happened. I won't say that they all spoke in tongues. I'll just leave that to Scripture and let you think. Something happened that made Simon, who came out of the world, said, he was a magician. He was the sorcerer, right? And he says, I've never known magic like that. I want to buy that. And Peter tells him, bam, you are not, shame on you for even wanting to purchase the Holy Spirit. He rebukes him hard and Simon says, please pray that nothing bad happens to me. I repent. I believe Simon just had some things wrong in his philosophy. But something happened that day that changed these people's lives, that made another man who was coming out of the world say, I want to buy that. So look over to Acts chapter 9, verse 17. It says, then Ananias went to the house and entering it and placing his hands on Saul. Remember Saul? He was the guy that persecuted Christians. He said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Immediately something like scales fell from Paul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and he was baptized. So something happened to Paul. The Holy Spirit came upon him according to Scripture. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18, Paul says this, or Saul's name was changed to Paul, and he says this. He said, I speak in tongues more than you all. That's why we believe that Paul was from Tennessee. I speak in tongues more than y'all. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 19, Paul goes on, when he went to the church at Corinth, The church at Corinth had some major problems, but they were spiritual. They were spiritual, man. They had everything's out of, it was chaotic. So Paul goes down there and he begins to straighten them out. And 14 verse 19 says, but in the church, I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. He goes on, he says, if you come to church and you're just all speaking in tongues, people are going to think you're strange. So then why did the Lord give us tongues? For your prayer language, for your prayer closet. In the church, he said, I'd rather speak five words that would encourage everyone. Does that mean we don't speak in tongues when we get together? It means we speak quietly to ourselves because it's our prayer language. Unless there's a tongue and interpretation for the church, and you will know the difference, I promise you. So he gives instructions exactly how it should be, because God is not a God of chaos. Too many people have come into the Pentecostal church and think, "Ooh, those people are out there. Those are strange." How many people, the first time you went into the Pentecostal church, they scared the socks off of you? It's like, oh, dear God, right? I've been Pentecost all my life, and I've been in some service that scared me. It was like, oh, I ain't never seen this before. My pastor went to church one time, and he saw two people walking up and down the aisle talking to each other in tongues. Is that scriptural? Absolutely not. When you speak in tongues, I'm not speaking to a man. You're speaking to God. Why would I? That doesn't make any sense. I'm not talking to her. I'm talking to God. Takes man to mess that one up. Acts chapter 10, verse 43-46 says, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of sin through his name. While Peter was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who? On a few of them? On all who heard the message. The circumcised believers, who's the circumcised believers? That's the Jews, who had come with Peter, were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. When those old selfish, stubborn, racial Jews saw that God's Spirit came upon Gentiles, that's you and me, and the same thing happened to you and me that happened to them on the day of Pentecost, they said, well, maybe this is not a Jewish thing. I've been Pentecost all my life, and I think about when the 70s happened and the Catholics started speaking in tongues and the Pentecostal church got jealous. It's like, those Catholics can't be speaking in tongues. Oh yeah? They love Jesus. I don't think Jesus is a respecter of persons. There are spirit-filled, tongue-talking believers in every denomination you're going to find. Some of them are just smart enough to keep it quiet because they're afraid they'll lose their job if they ever tell people I speak in tongues in my prayer closet. The Presbyterian Church had Jeannie Goggins, who was a tongue-talking lady. And I can tell you that for a fact because she came to one of our prayer meetings one night. And I'm thinking, she's Presbyterian. Wow. It's like the Holy Ghost don't care what you got over your door.
That's right.
Jesus said, I want to give you the best gift. I want to send the Holy Spirit. And I want to let him teach you some things and help you with some things. Look over to Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. It says, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no. We've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Oh, come on. Can somebody say amen? That's the way I was raised. Hey, have you heard about this gift of the Holy Spirit? And you say, no, they don't talk about that in our church. We go from John to Romans, we leave the book of Acts out. And those of you that were taught about the Holy Ghost were taught about the Holy Ghost from somebody who never experienced the Holy Ghost. And it's like somebody trying to tell you about salvation that's not saved. They don't understand it. It takes a spirit-filled believer to say, let's take the spookiness out of this thing and just believe God. That's good stuff. Said, no, we've not even heard there is a Holy Spirit. So Paul said, then what baptism did you receive? They said, John's baptism. And Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, which means salvation. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Verse 6, when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. And they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There were about 12 men in all. Paul goes to Ephesus and finds a group of believers. Hey guys, did you receive the Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? What are you talking about? Holy Spirit? What are you talking about? Paul said, well, what was your baptism about? He said, John baptized us for the remission of my sins. You know, we're to believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. So Paul baptizes them again in the name of Jesus, places his hands on them, and what happens? They begin to speak in tongues. The Holy Spirit. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit. So don't tell me it all happens when you get saved. These people were saved, but they were never baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people say, I got everything I needed in salvation. Bless God, I'm in every line the Lord wants to put out. Right? Anytime the Lord says, hey, there's a healing line here, I'll say, sign me up. Hey, there's a spirit-filled line here, sign me up. Hey, there's a prosperity line here, sign me up. I want it all. I want everything He has. Hey, there's wisdom over here, sign me up. Here, there's a wife over here. No, thank you. Been in that line before. I'm staying out of that one. So really, why do I need the Holy Spirit? Can we just be real for a second? Is it just to be emotional? Is it just to have a goosebump? Not at all. Matter of fact, sometimes when the Holy Spirit is the strongest is when you don't have any goosebumps. It's when all you can do is cry out, Jesus. And the Holy Spirit is right there to help you. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 10 says, but God has revealed it to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the man's spirit within him? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Reading that again. In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. That agrees with Isaiah's passage in chapter 55, verse 12. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. Stop for just a second. And how many times have you heard people say, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand the Bible. You will never understand the Bible until the Spirit of God illuminates it to you. And as a Spirit-filled believer, you will read passages that you'll say, I've read that 1,000 times. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God will bring that alive to you. And He may bring it alive to you at different, the same verse in different parts of your life and at different times in your life to show you there's a deeper meaning. There's a deeper meaning. There's a deeper meaning. There's a deeper meaning. He takes what is God and brings it to us. We have not received the spirit of the world. Thank you, God. I don't want the spirit of this world. But the spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given to us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, expressing spiritual truth in spiritual words. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. The spiritual man makes judgments about all things, but he himself is not subject to any man's judgment. Verse 16, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? Because of the Holy Spirit. He takes it and he breaks it down for us so that we understand. Guys, this is phenomenal. This means, you know, when you're in the world, how pretty you are and how smart you are is how far you're going. Well, I don't know about you, but I was born on the short end of that stick, both sides. I wasn't pretty and I wasn't real bright. But the Spirit of God, He gives you what you wasn't born with. He brings to you when you absolutely need to know something that's not human wisdom. The Spirit of God says, I know what you need. Here's what you need. Guys, is anything I'm saying scary? No, it's not scary. It's not scary in the least. And if you're sitting there thinking that, then you're going back in the recesses of your mind and you're saying, yes, but I remember being taught, shame on you, I've asked you not to do that. I'm just asking you to let Scripture tell you who the Holy Ghost is. If you have questions, how many of you have heard you should never question God? How many of you have been taught that? Is that not ridiculous? If I can't question God, who can I question? I don't think my questions intimidate God. Now, I can say things of lack of faith maybe and offend the Holy Spirit. But when I say, God, I don't understand this, I don't think God says, shame on you. I think He says, well, come here, let me show you. That's what He did with the disciples. You know, He would teach to the masses and then He would take His disciples aside and say, guys, let me break this down. Here's what this means. That's what the Holy Ghost does for us every day. He says, let me break this down. Here's what's happening. Here's what you're being taught in the world. I want you to know the truth. So I want to take the mind of Christ and make it known to you. So, I'm not just human. How many times have we said it? Well, I'm just a man. No, you're not. Not if the Holy Ghost is in you. You're a spiritual man. He said that you have the mind of Christ. Now, some of us don't use it much, but we have it. How can a man know something that's going to happen that he shouldn't know? Only God. How many times has your kid said, Dad, can I go to this party? It's good kids going over there. Dad, can I do this? Dad, can I do that? And then the Holy Spirit would say, don't you let them go there. I was watching my son play basketball one day, 16 years old. I'm on the bleachers watching him play basketball, and the Spirit of God says, your son's cussing the other players. After the ball game, I said, good game, son. I said, how about you and I going to breakfast tomorrow? Oh, that'd be great, Dad. We go to breakfast in the morning, sitting at the restaurant, and I said, Spirit of God told me something yesterday. He said, what's that? I said, he told me you were cussing the other players when you're playing basketball. My son dropped his head and began to weep. He said, I'm not right, Dad. I'm not right with God. I said, that can change in a moment. Do you want to change? He said, yeah. I said, let's pray. You see how simple that was? My son got right with the Lord. But how in the world would I have ever known that unless the Spirit of God had made it known to me? How many times the Spirit of God has spoke to me and said, so-and-so's got pain. I want to heal her. Hey, this is happening at work. Hey, you got a real problem. Hey, your cook is on drugs. Well, I wondered why that spaghetti sauce tasted so. I had the best cook in the world. And all of a sudden, she just became erratic. She was on meth. I've never used a drug in my life. I didn't know that stuff. Until the Spirit of God says, your cook's on drugs. Your cook's on drugs. Yeah, that's right. Your cook's on drugs. And I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do? Here's what I want you to do. Step by step, the Lord showed me how to reach out to her in love. So that it was to my benefit, but to her benefit too. You see, God cares about every person. If I was to act just solely alone, I would say, you're on drugs and you're out of here. I'm not having a drug addict in the kitchen. You're going to hurt yourself. You're going to kill somebody. Well, either way, I did it. I said, would you sign this paper? I need to fire you. I have watched the Holy Spirit. I didn't do that, but I have watched the Holy Spirit time and time and time again save my bacon. Give me supernatural wisdom. Can I ask you, am I spooky? Thank you. Only my wife laughed at that. I said spooky, not kooky. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I'm going to pray with my spirit and I'll pray with my mind. I'll sing with my spirit and I'll sing with my mind. When I pray in the spirit, my mind is unfruitful. It bypasses my brain and goes straight to the throne. Yes. Last night as we were praying, every time I would get serious in prayer, I kept seeing this little Chinese girl. And I don't know if she was an American citizen living here of Chinese descent, an Asian descent, or if she was in China. I don't know anything about that girl. I just know every time I got serious, I got to really interceding, this vision just kept coming in my mind. This little Chinese girl, I could draw her for you. What did I do? All I could do is pray in the Spirit. And God took over. I think when I get to heaven, I'm going to meet a little Chinese girl that says, thank you for praying for me. One night, my mother woke up at midnight. My mother was divorced. And this is how Satan works. She didn't think she could be spirit-filled because she was divorced. That theology does not come from the Scripture. That comes from Satan because it's just guilt-ridden, right? Well, God can't use you because you're divorced. Oh, right? Yeah, that makes sense. Then God can't use a whole bunch of people. I don't believe that nonsense. I used to hear my mother in worship when I was a little kid. I used to hear her getting excited in her worship, and I'd begin to hear her pray in tongues. But she didn't believe she could because she had been divorced. And I'm like, you're praying in tongues. What? Why are you missing this? One night about midnight, my mother gets out of bed, gets beside her bed and begins to pray. She doesn't know what's going on, but my brother is coming back from Springfield, Missouri. At that exact hour, that exact minute, my brother had fallen asleep at the wheel. And a truck, he kept hearing the truck honk its horn. And he'd put it in his dream. You ever done that? He's hearing this in his dream thinking, what is that? Finally, at the right moment, he wakes up and there's the headlights of the truck. He veers over, goes into a ditch, sits there with two other boys in the car, and they sit there and cry. That's how close it was. Except for a praying mom. My brother today is a minister in Georgetown, Kentucky. Hundreds, if not thousands, of souls have come into the kingdom at his preaching. Satan tried to take him out when he was 19. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be weird. You don't have to be strange. You have to be willing. Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Romans 8, verse 26 and verse 27. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. The Spirit helps your weakness. Anybody got some weaknesses out there? The Spirit of Christ will help you overcome. Says He intercedes for us. He's praying for you. Does any of this sound strange? Does any of this sound scary? If you are not Spirit-filled, I would have no idea what your hesitation would be. If you read the Scripture, I think it's abundantly clear the Holy Spirit is for everyone. It is not for just the apostles. It's for those that are far off. That's us. The Spirit takes what is God's and He makes it known to you. He helps you in your weakness. Why in the world should I be afraid of that? It takes religion to make you afraid. God tried to make it abundantly clear. Amen. If you would, stand with me. I want to open the altar today. And I want to ask you that if you are not baptized in the Holy Spirit and you want to be, I'm going to ask you to step out of your pew and come and stand here. And the first thing that Satan is going to say to you is, I don't want to act crazy in front of people. Right? I don't want to be emotional. Who said you had to? You see, if you're a quiet person, you'll probably receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in a quiet way. If you're a loud mouth, you may receive the Holy Spirit in a loud way. The day I got saved is the day I got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I just kept praying. I just knew I needed God. I'm pretty convinced that if God hadn't got me at 7, He would have never got me. You see, in our family, there's a real distinction between Christian and the wicked. And most of them go the opposite way. There would have been a real draw for me. An alcoholic parent. I could have went the other way. But God. But God. And I am so thankful that I had my but God experience at 7 years old. Guys, are you ready to receive? I'm just asking you, I want everybody just to stay for a few minutes. But if you want to receive your prayer language, if you want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, we just want to lay hands on you, just like Peter did. We just want to lay hands on you and pray and believe for you to be Spirit-filled. There's only one prerequisite for being Spirit-filled. Do you know what that is? You have to be saved. So I'm going to ask you, every one of you in the house, would you pray with me? Jesus, I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm asking you to come into my heart and save my soul. I need you, Jesus. I need a Savior. And I'm calling out to you. And you said if I called out, that you would answer my prayer. I'm asking you to save me in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you are saved. If you prayed that in faith, you're saved. If you've never been baptized, we need to get you baptized. And we'll do that. We believe that's a step that you need to take. So now we want to just pray for these folks, and we just want to believe just the way they prayed for salvation. We want to believe. Now I will tell you, the Spirit of God will not force Himself on you. The Spirit of God is a gentleman. So if you sit silently, you will never speak in tongues. It takes an element of faith. You've got to put your voice out there, and the Lord will fill your voice as you pray. Amen. I want to, we'll pray for you. Yes, I need some people to come down and stand behind these. We have a sister here that's wanting prayer for sickness, for healing. Yes. Yes. That's not from God.
He died for me and turned my back on me. I can't forgive myself, but I still have the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and the reason that that breaks your heart shows that you're still hungering for Jesus. Some people convince themselves that they've committed the unpardonable sin, but that's not true. Once you commit the unpardonable sin of blasphemy, you'll never feel Jesus pull into your heart again.
Right. Be forgiven except blasphemy against the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Do you believe in one saved, always saved?
No, ma'am, I do not.
Right answer.
Thank you. Let's pray. Father God, I pray, Lord Jesus, for this touch on this lady to be able to forgive herself. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would forgive her. We believe that you have forgiven her. We ask that the Holy Spirit would take from you and give it to her. Let the peace of God that surrounds all, passes all understanding, surround her heart. In Jesus' name, I pray, Lord, that she would find your forgiveness, your acceptance, Lord. I pray that you would heal her body. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that she would be full of the Holy Ghost and power. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Father God, I thank you, Lord, for Sonny. Lord, he desires to be Spirit-filled. Let your hand.